what's the implication for your search, say, particularly on Mars?
Well, exactly. That's the whole point. Since we find it anywhere on Earth where there's liquid water, we find life. The whole point on Mars is to find, first of all, where there was liquid water, we might find some evidence of past life. Or even better, if we can find places where even today water is near enough the surface that we can get to it. It cannot be on the surface itself because it will evaporate. So the question is, can we find any places where it's fairly close to the surface so we can get to it? And we don't know. That's one thing these orbiting spacecraft will begin to look for, these thermally active regions, or at least past thermally active regions.
How far down would you try and go?
Well, right now we don't know how to go much further than a few meters. But eventually, if we can find some spots where we think it's fairly close, then we would have to work on how we can drill a much deeper hole. Nature does provide us with holes. Every time one of these craters forms, it's creating a huge hole, and material which was buried is now on the surface. So one of the places we'll look is around a fresh crater, because the rocky material will have been uncovered from very deep, and if we can pick the right places, and that's what these little rovers are about, and pick the right rocks which look like they might have been wet fairly recently, those are the rocks we'll want to sample.
Is there any way we could confidently collect this cometary material in a meteor stream?
I'm sorry?
Could we have somehow collected the same material in a thick meteor stream, the oxygen composite?
Well, yeah, the question is finding the material. If you can get up above the atmosphere, then you have a chance to collect it. But there's a lot of stuff up there. And there is dust which has been recovered from my high altitude collection systems, which tends to be dust from meteorites and asteroids, not from comets. I don't know of any organic material, pieces of organic material that's been recovered that way. Yes?
Ed, you mentioned Snow White twice in your talk, so I'm starting to believe there is life out there, having been to Disneyland. But on a more serious note, magnetic fields, which you're an expert, because the Earth is protected by a Van Allen belt, Mars, would it have would this magnetic field in any way strong enough to provide?
No. That's another reason why the surface is sterile, because there is no shield, magnetic shield. We have a magnetic shield that deflects cosmic radiation away from Earth and the atmosphere, which breaks up the cosmic rays before they get to the surface. Mars's atmosphere is less than 1% of ours. It has no magnetic field to speak of. It is just sitting there being irradiated. So it's the surface is sterile. I mean, there's every reason to believe it is sterile. We have to go down beneath the surface or inside of rocks and places like that to look for life. Yeah? No, there aren't any. Viking did try to carry one, but it didn't get released properly. Certainly, that's one of the objectives in the future, would be to plant some small seismometers on Mars and begin to look at Mars quakes to try to understand what the interior of Mars is like. But currently, there are none on Mars.
It's also been proposed that post-frequency variation might be caused by wind.
No, not at this point. No. But clearly, we're just beginning. We're just beginning. Yes?
On this slide showing the timeline for the exploration of Mars, we had micro rovers or micro missions at the bottom.
Yeah.
Are they planned at the moment?
I didn't mention those, but what we hope to be able to do is that the Ariane 5 is a very large European launch vehicle, which is now just getting into commission. It's designed to launch large communication satellites into orbit around the Earth. They have room to carry along small payloads into Earth orbit, small meaning, say, 100 kilograms. So if we can invent a way to not only have a spacecraft but a rocket system which can get us out of Earth orbit, then we can go to Mars basically piggyback launched on a commercial satellite. And so that's what that's all about. It's a way of further opening up the exploration program by taking advantage of these kind of almost free launches associated with commercial launches. But we don't know how to do that yet.
But you expect it.
We expect it, right. Yeah. Yes?
Let's say there's water on the surface of Mars that evaporated. Where would it have gone?
The water in Mars? Well, presumably there's a lot underground. But the Mars atmosphere, the Mars, first of all, has a much lower gravity than here on Earth, so it doesn't hold on to its atmosphere as well. And there's a scientific debate exactly what caused the atmosphere of Mars to erode away. But once the pressure got low enough, the water evaporated. Once it evaporates and goes into the atmosphere, sunlight breaks water up into hydrogen and oxygen, and the hydrogen is so light that it escapes, and you can never recreate the water then. So the water which got into the atmosphere probably is gone forever. That which sank into the ground, and there's no reason to believe it's not there, just like it is here on Earth, is still there. And our challenge is finding it.
Well, just if Huygens successfully lands on Titan, are you hoping it will survive on the surface for some time and keep on running?
It won't. It's not designed. It's battery-powered. So it's not designed to last. It's not a surface experiment per se. It's an atmospheric experiment per se. In fact, we aren't even in contact with it because the orbiting spacecraft will move away. So that's the future mission, would be the exploration of the surface. This one is really primarily to determine the organic chemicals in the atmosphere.
But if the landing is soft enough and the equipment's still going, you may be able to
get it. Well, we will definitely try to take, before we lose contact from the orbiter, we're clearly going to do whatever photography we can of the surface. You bet. Yeah. We're going to go all the way down. We're going to watch those images. It's a bizarre world. It should be, anyway. Yes?
How feasible would it be to land a probe on the rover and try drilling down through the ice?
Well, that's exactly what we're beginning to think about. We probably wouldn't drill. We might melt our way through the ice. And there's an opportunity to try out some of these ideas here on Earth because there is a lake under about 2 kilometers of ice in Antarctica called Lake Vostok. And it's a very large lake. It's been sealed off from the rest of the atmosphere for probably 1 million years. And, of course, it's not too hard. They've used hot water to drill down to that. They have not broken into it, because they want to be sure that they don't contaminate whatever is there. The whole point of examining it is to see what does it look like, because it's been sealed off for so long from the rest of the Earth's climate. So that'll be a while, but it's an opportunity for us to try out the technology that we might want to use on Europa. That will come after we've done the orbiter. The orbiter will tell us what the challenge is. And once we've done the orbiter, which we hope to launch in 03, then we'll be able to sort of know what to do with respect to a lander or a submarine or whatever it has to be to make the next step.
And would it also be feasible to do the same sort of thing on Mars and go and sketch there and find out?
Sure. Yeah, you bet. There are lots of things we can do. Okay.